produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord, and today again, we are looking forward to another reading and study of God's Word. I always get so excited when we can read God's Word, and I always read it with a view of what nuggets can I get out of it today, what revelation can I get. You know, you can read the same scripture so many times and still get fresh nuggets and a fresh word out of it. And I know even in my life, the Lord has had me preach the same message. Sometimes I've preached some messages, the same message over years, more than 20 years, more than 20 times. And each time it comes out with a different flavor, with a different emphasis, with different revelation. So the Word of God is always fresh. It's powerful. It's a two-edged sword. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a hammer. It's got so many sides to it, so many aspects to it, revelatory sides. And always when you read the Word of God, ask God to, ask Holy Spirit to give you revelation. You have to read the Word of God through the eyes of His Spirit. Otherwise, you will miss a lot of what is being said if you try and read it in a dry fashion, and or if you try and read it in a legalistic way. You will not get the real truth, the revelatory truth of what it contains. So it's always very, very exciting just to get a chance to read the Word, meditate upon it, and digest it. You know, the instructions that God gave to Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, He said, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll when God was giving Ezekiel a mandate. I just love Ezekiel because I identify very closely with Ezekiel. When God began to speak to me many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, about the office that He called me into, one of the offices, which is the prophetic office, along with the apostolic office, God spoke to me a lot about Ezekiel. And so I identify with Ezekiel a lot because He told Ezekiel, He said, Ezekiel, listen, the people I'm sending you to, they are stubborn people. They are stiff-necked, which means they're rebellious. And, you know, He warned him that they will not listen. But God said to him that even in spite of that, He said, I've given you a hard forehead, a hard forehead. And prophetically, a hard forehead represents a number of things. A hard forehead means you are focused. A hard forehead also means you will not compromise. A hard forehead means that, you know, you are also fearless. So there are aspects around that hard forehead that you're focused. You're also fearless. You are a person of no compromise. And God spoke to me and said, you know, like Ezekiel, because He said to Ezekiel, don't be scared of these people. Don't be intimidated by them because I've given you a hard forehead. What we must always be careful of as prophets, which is something God spoke to me about personally. He said, don't have such a hard forehead that you break my people. So hard foreheads must be balanced with soft hearts, compassionate hearts, loving hearts, so that you can love God's people and you don't just have a hard forehead of no compromise that now is wounding to God's people. So every prophet, which is something God spoke to me about personally, He said, make sure that daughter, I give you this hard forehead of focus, hard forehead of no compromise, hard forehead of not being diluted, make sure that you balance your hard forehead with also a soft heart. And so I thank God and Holy Spirit for that revelation and for hearing His voice as He ministered to me and raised me up in the office of prophet. But yes, going back to the Word, and today I want to share a word. I was going through my messages as I was just praying to God and asking Him, what should I speak on? I was just scrolling through my messages and I came across an old message that I'd ministered and shared many, many years ago on wild gourds. And this message really resonated in my spirit. I felt like, You know, I should teach and just share on this word. There's certain principles that we can get. It's a story that comes from 2 Kings 4, and we're going to read from verses 38 to 40. It's an account that some of us may be familiar with, maybe others not so much, but people who are in the prophetic office, I know, would know this story. And there are some principles and nuggets that we can pick up for ourselves in this season. And 2 Kings 4, verses 38 to 40 reads as follows. It says, "When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting at his feet, he said to his attendant, 'Put on the large pot and boil some stew for the sons of the prophets.'" Verse 39, "One of them went out to the field to gather herbs, and he found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment could hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. And they poured it out for the men to eat. But when they tasted the stew, they cried out, 'There is death in the pot, O man of God!' And they could not eat it." They could not eat it. So I want to talk about this scripture. And I think this message is also very important. It's got some really good, great nuggets for people who are youthful, not necessarily just youthful in age, but you may be youthful in the Lord. It's got some good nuggets around the dangers of youthful and unknowledgeable and also unteachable ministers of the gospel. We are all called to be ministers of the gospel at some level, but we must be careful that, you know, not knowing, when you're not knowledgeable and when you have an unteachable spirit, it can just be so dangerous, not only for us, but it can be dangerous for others. So this is an account of sons of prophets. So one of the first things I want to talk about and mention is that this was a team. The sons of prophet were a team. They were seated together and they were seated at Elisha's feet. Elisha was their mentor. Elisha was their teacher. Elisha the prophet, you know, who himself was mentored also by Elijah. And, you know, last week I did a session on mentoring and being mentored, and it's always very important that you be mentored and that you also mentor. And I shared on some sharings around how to select mentors and the importance of having mentors in your life. Mentoring is a biblical principle, which many people don't actually subscribe to, but it is very biblical. And sometimes when we try and apply mentoring and mentorship in our lives, we use corporate or worldly principles, and we have to be very careful about that. So these were sons of prophets, and they were a team. And they were supposed to function together as a team. However, and they were still in training. They were being trained by Elisha. And it's very important. You know, there are dynamics to the team. And if you are in leadership, you know, in ministry, and also one of the leaders, it's very important to be aware of team dynamics. One of the things that I've picked up over my life over the years is that there are certain team dynamics, and you always want to encourage people to work together as a group, to work together as a family. And that's why one of the things we do is Global Forum for Women Entrepreneurs is always encourage relationship. Those who, you know, serve along with me in GFWE and in other networks will always know that I'm always encouraging us to work together as a team, as a family. I'm always trying to encourage us to be relational, because the dynamics, kingdom dynamics, require us to function together as a team. There's no such thing as working together as one person. I've worked with many, many different networks, and many networks, you'll find that there's that one person who wants to stand out. Rather than functioning together as a team, they want to rather use people in a Nimrodic or Babylonian way just to build their platform. And so the way we function together as a team. And oftentimes I would love when we have meetings and events that we have different people sharing. So it's not just one person sharing, but there are a number of people also getting involved and sharing, so that the fullness of what we all bring, our different diversified and different giftings, can be manifested. So this, the sons of prophets were supposed to be a team. They were supposed to be function as a team. They were still in training, being trained by Elijah. But in verse 39, we read, it says, one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. One of them. So this was not a team of them going out. So one of the first principles that we get from this, I want to talk about, is that one of them breaks ranks from the others. They break ranks. So they didn't go out together as a team to gather herbs. This is one son of prophet who decides to go out on his own, do his own thing. And I want to share with you as ministries and networks that, you know what? There will always be that one person, or even more than one, it could be one or two, that one person who breaks ranks from others. There will always be that one person who thinks they know better than others, or they're too good, or they're too clever, or, you know, things are not happening here, so let me go and do my own thing, and I have special ideas. So every ministry, every network will always have that one or two people who will break rank, and instead of being part of a teamwork, doing things in a collective, united in agenda, united in one accord, there'll always be that one person who will break rank and go out to the field to gather herbs, do that thing which was not part of the mandate, do that thing which was not part of the discussion, part of the agenda. And that person often will also, that same person who's breaking rank, or people, couple of people who are breaking rank, will often also have an unteachable spirit. They're also usually identifiable by the fact that they have unteachable spirits. Now, the mandate that was given was to all of them was to say, put on a large pot and boil the stew. And what this one who broke rank went to do, it was not part of the mandate. It was not part of the mandate. And we're not saying that, look, if God speaks to you in a certain way, if God speaks to you in a certain way, that you cannot follow his spirit. I always encourage people to follow the leading of the spirit. But you also have to be careful of that one person, two people who break rank and have an unteachable spirit and want to do their own thing. And many times in doing their own thing, they will also try and convince others to break rank and convince others to do their own thing. So as a ministry, as a family, one always wants to guard against that spirit of wanting to do their own thing. And the second thing that we pick up from verse 39, from this whole scripture and this whole scriptural account, is that this son of prophet who is identified in 39, and what's interesting, you know, there's no name, we don't know what his name was. And that often will happen. A lot of people sometimes who try to distinguish themselves and make a name for themselves with the spirit of Nimrod, because Nimrod was that person who was trying to build to make a name for himself. So interestingly enough, this one who broke rank and did his own thing with an agenda of wanting to make a name for himself actually ended up nameless. And so, you know, one of the things I've learned in my years of ministry, God spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I will make your name great. So we are not to pursue greatness and pursue making our own names great, but we are actually to pursue, you know, the kingdom. That's what the mandate is in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then it is God who makes your name great. God spoke to Abraham, said, it's me. I will make your name great, and it's not for our sake, but it's for God's sake, that God will begin to open platforms. God will begin to open doors for you to express the kingdom of God, not for you and I to brag about, not for you and I to boast, not for you and I, you know, to oppress others or to abuse others, but for you and I, so that we can become platforms of his kingdom expression, expressing God, expressing his ways, expressing kingdom protocols and principles and standards, expressing the kingdom blueprints out there. So this one breaks ranks. He goes out to do what was not part of the mandate. He has an unteachable spirit. He goes and gathers wild gourds from a wild vine. This is prophetically, if you know what the scripture is saying, it's actually talking about his rebelliousness. So the fact that he gathered wild gourds and a wild vine is a symbol of rebellion. So the wildness, it keeps emphasizing the wildness. Wildness is talking of rebellion. Wildness is symbolizing a rebellious spirit. And my prayer for you and I is that as God uses us to build his networks, as God uses us to build and release his kingdom protocols, that we will not become wild gourds. We will not be going to look for wild vines. We will not reflect rebellion. We will not have that unteachable spirit. We will not be those who break rank, you know, because we want to distinguish ourselves or because we think we're better than anybody else, but that God will gather us and connect us in a family way so we can become united in one accord, each of us serving God and serving in the ministry with a view and with a perspective of wanting to lift Yeshua and lift up his name, not with a view of wanting to make a name for ourselves. So here's this one. He's gathering wild gourds from a wild vine. He's rebellious. This is a symbol of rebellion. And this is somebody who thought he knew what he was doing. But in actual fact, we find out that he actually didn't know what he was doing. He had no idea of what he was doing. And this is often the case we find with people who have an unteachable spirit, people who are rebellious. They think they know what they're doing. Many of them think that they know better than everybody else, that, and many of them will come to a place where they're like, okay, I know enough. Now I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I'm going to make my own way. And this is a picture of this guy here. He went out. He's like, okay, you all can just cook your pot out there, but I know better. I know what I'm doing. And you know, that spirit of pride, that spirit of know-it-all, that spirit of I know more and better, and I'm on a greater path, actually almost not only almost killed him, but almost killed others as well. And sometimes when we step out in that pride and that arrogance of thinking we know better, we put ourselves in danger and we put others in danger because we go and collect that which is not good for us. We go and collect that which endangers our lives. So it's very important to really submit ourselves to be part of the corporate presbytery and make sure that we are in a network and amongst a group of people that are being spirit-led, led by God's spirit, and together fulfilling kingdom vision and kingdom mandate. Another thing that I picked up in reading the scripture is that it says in verse 39, it says that his garment was full. His garment was full. It says that one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. He found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment could hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. So he took over. Not only did he gather wild vines and wild gourds, but it said as many as his garment could hold. So his garment was full. He had gathered a lot of these wild gourds. He had gathered a lot of these wild vines from these wild vines. And it says that his garment was full. So his garment was full. He had gathered a lot, but it was of the wrong quality. What he gathered was not fit for consumption. Sometimes we can go out there and we can gather a lot of information and we can think that our garments are full, but the quality of that information is not the right information. And I know this especially for myself as somebody who has worked in the corporate environment for more than 3 decades. I know that there's a lot of information out there that looks good, that we can think it's of the right quality, but it's not of the right quality. Our garments can look full, may look like, oh, I'm getting all this information. I'm going to all these meetings. I'm going to all these, I'm part of all these networks. And it may look like your garment is full with knowledge. Your garment is full of information. But I want us to ask ourselves that question. Are you gathering secular teachings? Are you gathering humanistic teachings? Or are you gathering the word of God? Because many of these corporate places are just bringing in Babylonian teachings, are just bringing in Egyptian teachings. And so our responsibility is not to be gathering in information out there that will pollute our minds and pervert our spirits. Some of that information is wild gourd information that is toxic, that will actually contaminate our spirit. So be careful as you go out there. What are you gathering? That's the question I want to put to you out there. What are you gathering? Are you gathering information that is biblical, information that is kingdom aligned, information that is based on his word? Or are you gathering wild gourds and it's looking like your garment is full, but in actual fact, you are just gathering stuff of wrong quality, and what you're gathering is not fit for consumption for a son of God, for a believer. So what are you gathering? Ask yourself, do a review, conduct a study of your life, examine yourself, ask Holy Spirit to examine yourself and ask yourself, what am I gathering? Is it fit for consumption? Is this something that can be shared with other people? Is it perverting my spirit? Is it polluting my mind? What am I gathering? What am I gathering? So it's very, very important. Your garment may look like it's full, and associations are key. This is somebody who went out there, was not associated with anybody. He went out there on his own lone journey out there. So it's very important, beloveds. Let us not gather wild gourds. Let us not gather wild gourds. And wherever you are, in whatever place you are, in whatever network you are, always ask yourself, what is being served? Is it possible that wild gourds may be served? Always ask yourself, is it fit for consumption? Is what is being served, is it fit for consumption? Always ask yourself, you know, and interrogate the word that is being brought. Is this word a word that is fit for consumption? Or is this a wild gourd word? Is this a word that is toxic? Is this a word that will contaminate my spirit? Is this a word that will pervert my thoughts? Is this a word that will lead me down the wrong path? Is this a word that will take me out of my pursuit of the kingdom and focus me on secular humanistic ways? Is this a word that will launch me in the world but take me out of the kingdom? Is this a word? Wow, that's straight from the Holy Spirit. He said, is this a word? He said, ask them. Is this a word that will launch me in the world, onto the world platform, but take me out of the kingdom of God? Oh, Father, we thank you for that word. And that's just a prayer point right there, that I pray that you and I will pray that, Lord, let not anything take me out. Let me not be taken out by things that look attractive, but they are wild gourds, by things that look like they're launching me, but they're taking me out of the kingdom. I pray that this will not happen to you and I. So, you know, we have to interrogate that what is being served. Is it wild gourds? Is it fit for consumption? Interrogate what is being taught. Is it aligned with the kingdom blueprints and kingdom spirit? Interrogate the spirit of whatever is being released. What is the spirit behind? 1 John 4:1 is an instruction. It's not a recommendation. It's not a proposal. It's an instruction. We are to test the spirit. Interrogate the spirit that is behind the serving, whatever is being served. Test that spirit. That's what 1 John 4:1 says. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out in the world." So it's very, very important, beloveds. It's very, very important. This son of the prophet, he thought he was gathering something, you know, some knowledge, some information. It could be knowledge or information. He thought he was gathering some herbs which were going to be part of the cooking, but really what he was gathering was death. He was gathering death. And, you know, sometimes we go out there, we think we're gathering something that we're going to use, and all we're doing is gathering death. Now, you know, when the Bible talks about death, somebody may be saying, "Oh, I'm not going to die. It's not going to kill me." Sometimes the death that's being referred to is not necessarily physical death. It could be death to our spirit. It could be gathering death to our destiny. It could be gathering death to our future. All those issues could be around gathering death. So be careful of what you gather out there. Be careful you don't break rank. Be careful you don't start developing an unteachable spirit and going out there on your lone exercise to go out there to gather death. It may not necessarily be physical death, but it may be a spiritual death. So this person, all the sons of prophets were instructed to cook, but this son of the prophet decided to put the herbs himself in the stew, didn't obey instruction, unteachable and rebellious spirit. And the last few things that I want to touch on is the aspect of the field. The son of the prophet went to the field to gather these wild herbs, to get these wild vines, to get these wild gourds. He got the ingredient for the soup, for the stew from the field. And field is actually, if you look for the Hebrew word for field, the Hebrew word for field is sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. It refers to an open, uncultivated area of land. And in that place, you can only find that which grows wild. So he went into the field where it was just gathering wild things. And in the scripture, the field represents the world. It represents the world. So he was really going out into the world. And Romans 12:2 admonishes us that and tells us not to be conformed to the world, but it says that we must be transformed. And that transformation comes through the renewal of our minds so that we can now perform the acceptable, good and acceptable will of God. So when we go out into the field to gather wild gourds, we are not able to fulfill the good, acceptable will of God, because our minds cannot be transformed. When you go out to the world and gather wild gourds of secular humanistic teachings that are there to position you in an erotic way, in a Babylonian way, then we now start conforming to the world instead of being aligned with the kingdom of God principles. So the son of prophet went into the world. He brought back things from the world, and he was bringing back poisonous herbs, and because he was not trained fully, he was not even able to identify that these herbs were poisonous. He separated himself from the rest of the group, separated himself from godly teachings. And because he was untrained, he was not able to realize that these herbs were poisonous. Beloveds, the world is full of poisonous ideas. They look harmless sometimes. They may even look and resemble the truth, but many of them are bitter. They bring death. They bring sorrow. And for us to be able to recognize this, it's important that we be trained, in the Word of God, and in training, being trained of the Word of God, so that we in turn may equip others in truth. This is what Paul said to Timothy, and he said it to him in 2 Timothy 2:2. And he said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So we have to gather good herbs, herbs that will add aroma to the stew, not herbs that will kill people. Gather good knowledge, biblical knowledge, biblically based knowledge, not secular humanistic teachings that just are focused on mammon, focused on making money, focused on making names for ourselves. So let us be careful of going out into the field, going out into the world, which is full of poisonous ideas and poisonous solutions to life. Let us make sure that we are people who are trained and have a discriminating spiritual ear, a discriminating spiritual eye, that we can identify things, worldly things that may sound and look good, but are full of death and misery. And so praise the Lord. It's great that the sons of prophets, the scripture tells us that the sons of prophet cried out to the man of God. They cried out and they said, man of God, you know, man of God, they cried out to him. And I want to just encourage us, each and every one of us, that let us make sure that we're always crying out to God, because only God has the antidote to death, and only God has the antidote to toxic things, and he carries life. Yeshua came that we might have life and have it more in abundance. So praise God. I pray that you've been ministered to by this word. Let us not go out and gather wild gourds. Let us not go out into the field to bring worldly, secular, humanistic teachings, but let us go out there, be part of a team, make sure that we have a teachable spirit, that we don't operate in rebellion, but functioning together as a team, serving as a team in one accord with one language, so that we can make sure we prepare a stew that is edible, a stew that will bless many, a stew that can be served and will bless and minister to many. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikot Ministries Radio Network, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. We are engaging on a topic representing Jesus. The Jesus we have created and the Jesus of the Bible. I am arguing on those two elements. Enjoy. Our co-producer Kella Paget and all our listeners all over the world. This is Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. And what I want us to see from that text, really, what Ashley's reading, it starts off by saying, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit. Because of my love for language when I was learning at school, I knew that whenever I say then, it means there is something that I need to know that happened before then. You see that one there? Then, when he says, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'm more interested in knowing what happened before then. And of course, what happened before then is the baptism of Jesus Christ. And so if you pick it up from verse 16, it says that when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is me working on my spirit for about 2 weeks now, and understanding the few key principles I want us to get. And I call this the anatomy for ministry. For you and I, as we live our lives as God's children, as we live our lives to be men of God, men of integrity, and men of character, I want us to see what happens here in the life of Jesus Christ. I believe it is a higher way that helps us to understand. If ever in my life I've always wondered how is it going to be in terms of my gift, my talents in serving the body of Jesus Christ, I see here what I call the anatomy of ministry. First thing that I wanted to see, there are three main voices that speaks and introduce Jesus Christ into ministry. Three. The first voice is the voice of a man, which is the voice of John. John sees Jesus Christ coming. He has not opened blind eyes. He had not walked on water. He had not done any miraculous, not even raised Lazarus from the dead. He's fresh introduction into ministry, the very first thing that John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of mankind. First voice, the voice of a man. In your life and in my life, we do need to be aware of that. That every ministry that God has given us, by ministry I'm talking about your gifts, talking about the abilities that you do, as you serve God, whatever you do, where God is going to take you from this house, understand that the ministry that God has given you is the ministry that needs to be affirmed first by, on a human level. Men affirmed that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. Sometimes we live a life thinking, I don't care what people think. But that's not what Jesus models here for us. Jesus' ministry was testified and affirmed by another human being. To live a life thinking, my gifts are my gifts, I don't care what people think about me, and I don't care whoever cares about this, that's not how it works. In the ministry, it does work. You need affirmation that comes from the other brothers. And I think it's a good thing that as we are here, even as we are growing together, just to understand that when you are here ministering to one another, as I've often seen it happen when I come here, asking one another, what do you pick up in each other? And those become points of encouragement. Sometimes you can be so encumbered by the transitioning of getting out or a recovery mindset, rather, that you miss actually the important thing, that actually we are here in ministry. In this house, I am here, ministry. God is building something formidable out of me. Do I make sense, boys? It's important. Because if you can't recognize it here, it's not going to be recognized publicly out there in Victory Life or Kingdom City. You get my point? You recognize it here. When I wake up in the morning, I have to thank God for that which God has done in me. Because as I begin to walk out there, where the field is, I begin to understand that my affirmation does not start first with anybody else that is out there in abstract. The people around me can look and see the ministry that is in me. Jesus teaches me a way that I believe is very important. John sees him. He testifies that. True leadership is testified by other human beings. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of mankind. First voice. Second voice that you see that comes out from Jesus for Jesus Christ's ministry, we call the voice of the Father. And we call the voice of the Father because the Father begins to declare when Jesus Christ is baptized, and hear the words of the words from the Father. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear the words that are coming from the Father. The Father says, that's my boy down there, in whom I'm well pleased. On a human level, John testifies that that's the Messiah. On a spiritual, supernatural level, God the Father affirms and testifies, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Number three, the Holy Spirit testifies and affirms by descending bodily like a dove on Jesus Christ's head that he is the Messiah. Let's go back again. I want you to understand this because I think for me it's important. This will help you to understand that your ministry does not qualify your affirmation. In other words, you don't get affirmation from what you do as a man of God. But the ministry that God has given you, you do not need to do first ministry before you are affirmed by God. Jesus, as he stands in the seashores of the Judean River, he's there. He has not done a miracle. He has not raised the dead. He hasn't opened the blind eyes. He has not walked on the water. But three voices mark his ministry. To teach you and me a powerful principle. It's not what I do that makes me to be affirmed that I am a child of God or that I am a man of God. You are a man of God before you do ministry. You are a man of God because the voice of affirmation that qualifies you comes from God the Father. Jesus Christ was affirmed by three voices. John affirmed him before Jesus did any miracles. The Father affirmed him before he did any miracles. The Holy Spirit affirmed him before he did any miracles. What's my point? That as you are here, you might be here hidden in obscurity and nobody knows you. Nobody knows the healing ministry in you. Nobody knows the prophetic gifting in you. Nobody knows where you are going into your life, the teaching ministry that is in you. Nobody understands that inside of you, Eric, there is an evangelist that is in the making. But you see, you don't need to evangelize in order for you to be affirmed by people. You do need first to get the affirmations that come from three sources. Yeah. Those who know you, that have walked with you, can look at you and say, I know Eric, he has done the hard yards. But you need also the voice that comes from your Father in glory, which is God the Father. God the Father says, that's my boy, the Eric. I know. He doesn't have to do anything to prove that he's mine. You are God's ones before you do any ministry. Why is that important? Because I'm finding out that in a lot of churches and ministries as I travel, that people present their gifts first. And from their gifts, so people know me as Pastor Josh. Nothing wrong with that. But they don't know me as Josh. Does that make sense? Because if people know you by your title or your responsibility or function, it takes away something you become what you do. But that's not what you do. Before I am a pastor, I am a man.
Yeah.
Do that make sense?
Yeah.
I am a man. And because I'm a man, I'm also a child of God. So when I go before God in prayer, I don't pray prayers like an apostle. I don't pray prayers like a pastor. I pray like a child. Because if I become a child before God, I can tell him how vulnerable I am. I can tell him about the shame that I'm dealing in secret. Do that make sense? Because if you're not careful, religion can take you to a place that we identify you by your title. And therefore, you will fight tooth and nail to keep up a standard that is set by people. Yeah? So wherever you go, because you know you're trying to be cool and collected, you're trying to be the father of your child or the father of your daughter or your son, but God doesn't see you that way. The voices that spoke over Jesus had not seen Jesus open one blind eye, had not seen Jesus walking on the water, had not seen because the miracles and the demonstrations of the miraculous power of God are secondary. What's important? My relationship with him. That's why I get my affirmation.
Amen.
So why boys, when we grow up, why we got hurt so much with issues of rejection and issues of trust and feeling undervalued? It's the same thing. Because fathers on earth are the one who build up validation on their boys. So if boys are not validated at young age and you're raised by mom or you're raised by grandmother or you're raised in the foster care, it doesn't matter. But that day, it sets you out of kilter. That's why it's important that when you are born again, you have a father that can affirm you. What your father did not do, God then accelerates that. And then he says, it doesn't matter what you didn't get from your father. It doesn't matter what you were supposed to say and accolade you and build you up and validate you. Yes, he wasn't there. It doesn't matter that daddy was not there to speak life into you. It doesn't matter that daddy did not encourage you to go to school. It doesn't matter that daddy took favorite and favored your sisters above you. It doesn't matter anymore. Because born again places you on a platform that is higher than the level there of your father that he did not do. You are a son. You are a child of God before you are a title or a function. Make sense?
Yeah.
Once you get that in your walk, I believe, as men, once you get that in our journey with God, it helps us to begin, therefore, to operate on another level. Now, when you go now to chapter 4, where Ashley was reading, I wanted to see, the Bible begins by saying, then was Jesus. Now it makes sense to me that I am affirmed first. I am validated first. So out of that validation, I have the authority, the confidence, and the identity. Identity, therefore, does not come from church stuff, does not come from religion. It comes from those who know me. The voice of the Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of other integral men around me. So that is why we say, once you are here, you are You are all on an equal level plane where you can be able to build one another and begin to speak into each other words that build each other, because our stories are different. But the truth is, our experiences are valid as well. But you see, when we are here at this level, we can encourage one another. You are a mighty man of God. You are a champion for God. I see you going into places. You speak these things to one another. Because out there in the world, in the bars and nightclubs where you used to meet, people used to run you down. People used to tell you that, who do you think you are? People used to tell you that you are not even educated. Yes, we are mates, but stay here on this level. But I believe the bridge is designed that you guys, you are responsible for each other. Before Pastor Mari comes in, you are responsible for each other to speak life into each other. Do I make sense?
Amen. Yeah.
Because if you don't build one another yourselves, the enemy comes in. If you don't build each other yourselves by encouraging one another, by seeing the good that which it doesn't matter what it is. It could be just as good as whoever made that cup of coffee. Say, no, thank you, mate, for doing that. It's simple. Because men oftentimes internalize, as you know. Women excel. The reason why women talk a lot, it is because they are made in such a way that everything outside them, they externalize. They talk a lot about it. But for us as men, we internalize. We don't get that moment where we encourage each other. I have come here this morning to come and encourage the value that is in you, the worth that is in you, so that you can understand that, I mean, Jason, you are not just about roofs. Over and above that, there's a man there that is compassionate in helping others. And I'm sure there are houses that you have gone to, and when you've gone there, you are thinking, I don't even know how I'm going to charge that old lady such a lot of amount. Compassion goes on first, because you understand you are not just a worker. You are not just a company that is there to make money. You realize that human beings are important. We need to see the importance of each other right here. First in the bridge. I felt that spirit when I walked in there. When you were singing that song there, I felt it. I just felt that there was a connection in the spirit. So I want to say to us, let's keep building that one up. Alright? So you've got the affirmation that comes from John, which is on a human level. That comes from the Father, which is what God says about you every time when you wake up in the morning. The good thing about God is, there is no amount of love you have for God that will surpass His love for you. In other words, you can't love God more than already He had loved you. Sometimes we get muddled up by that. We think, oh, I love you, Lord. And we think it comes from us. But listen to me, the foundation of love is God. And because God is love, we don't say He has love. We say God is love. And because it's in His nature to be love, so love comes from God. He's the source of love. So you are loved by God unconditionally. But Josh, you don't understand some stupid things that I've done this week. He still loves you. Josh, you don't understand some of the decisions that I've made and the choices that I've made. I feel worthless and I feel like I'm not even good enough. I don't know whether I even fit to be here. He still loves you because His love over you is unconditional. It doesn't have attachments. It is not conditional on the condition that you were a good boy this week. God does not work on a point system. It's important for you to know that He loves you. Regardless, say that with me. He loves me regardless.
He loves me regardless.
That's right. Allow that to build up within your system because it's important. But you see, I wanted to see how it works. On a human level, John saw it. That's my cousin there. But I don't see him as my cousin. The Lamb of God. Right? You could have said, that's my homie. That's my cousin. I know this thing happened before when I was in Elizabeth. And he was in Mary, and the babies leaped in the womb. But John says, nah, I just don't see him as a cousin. Behold the Lamb of God. What do you see out of each other? The Father validates the same thing. That's my boy. I'm pleased in him. And the last voice that speaks is the voice of the Holy Spirit. He came. Landed on him. Now you find it. This, I call it the anatomy of ministry, because I believe it's important that you understand that before I do ministry, you need the Holy Spirit to come and sit on top of you. Before any ministry engagement, it's important that the Holy Spirit comes and sit on you. We have got the validation. People can see the gift in you. Right? Let's take another level. It's not enough that I can see the gift in you. You need a validation that comes from your Father God. How do I get the validation that comes from Father God? By spending time with Him, by spending time with God, privately and publicly. Your life as a man once you're in this place should not just depend on these devotions. Have your own devotional lifestyle. Do I make sense? Build it up privately. Build it up before you go out there in the world. Build it up internally, because when you do that, you are giving yourself an opportunity to see what God wants to build even over your life. The Holy Spirit that descends from above is a third testimony that testifies that this is the beloved child of the Father. He sits on him. And I know, because it's the modus operandi by which God works in our lives. The Holy Spirit must come and sit. Now, differences between charismatics and Baptist fundamentals, and who says, I've got the Holy Spirit, even though I don't speak in tongues, that's where people get muddled up. I'm gonna help you to see what's the picture here. In salvation, born again, the day I say, Jesus, come into my heart, He comes, He sits on me. And you see, that's a principle that goes through the scriptures. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And then it says, the earth was full of darkness and chaos. And then it says, the Holy Spirit. Remember that verse? Verse 2. The Holy Spirit was hovering. That's the verse 7. The other version says, the Holy Spirit was brooding. We know what broods. Hens, before they hatch their chickens, they brood over the eggs. You're with me? The Holy Spirit comes and He hovers on top of you. But a lot of guys stop on the hovering of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for you just to allow Him to come and hover on top of you. He hovers on top of everything. So in your life, when you look at your life right now where you are, He has been there since you were born. And His destiny over your life was already there. If I were to ask right now some of the stories that you have been involved in, the addiction and friends that you had around you, some of the drug lords that you end up getting involved with, and some of the guys that were rough, and that some of them are serving maybe sentences in the prison, and you look at yourself right now here, you can only thank God that the Holy Spirit was hovering on top of me. Right? You look at your life right now where you are, and you hear some of the shocking stories about how parents have raised their kids, and what you hear today from time to time, and how a father or a mother, well-meaning, well-to-do person, you don't even think that they can hurt an aunt, and they would go there and then and they fill the bathtub with water, and then they kill their kids one by one, and then they shoot themselves in their heads. What's happening there? You thank God for where you are, that the Holy Spirit was hovering over your life. I think about my life coming from Zimbabwe, and I think of my life, and I see that I've often said this to you because it's my story, so I keep on telling it. I'm born from a country that is poor, that the poor calls it poor. That's one of the most countries that is so poor economically and infrastructure. And the inflation rate there are shocking. I don't even know where they are at right now. But right there, God has a way of bringing out and brooding over my life. I see that my life was marked by brooding. When I went to school, when I did not perform well, when I was failing my grades, when things were tough and I did not know what to do, walking along with my friends and the guys that were all around me as I was at school, some of them, when they looked at me, and they would shake their heads, and I would feel so undervalued, and I would feel as if I could not even speak. I did not have a voice, a voiceless person. To see Him today sitting in front of you right now at the bridge, and I'm preaching the word, it is because the Holy Spirit has been hovering over my life. I want you to identify and thank God for your life, that you are where you are. You are more than the VOA meeting that you're going to go to. You are more than Val, who comes in here and ministers to you and counsels you. You are more than seeing Pastor Murray looking after you. I want you to realize there is destiny that is tied up to this. When you come to think of it, Pastor Murray could be anywhere else but here. Right? Sam could be anywhere else but here. Right? And all of us could have been anywhere else but here. But you see, God speaks to a man. God speaks to a woman formulates this, what we call the bridge. It becomes a vision. But in that vision, God already knew you were involved as part of that story. Am I talking? I want you to see that right now in your life, that your life is a tapestry that is woven together, not by chance, not by mistake or accident. Don't miss the moment. Yes, we can irritate one another. Yes, there's agitation in this house. Yes, there'll be offenses in this house. But don't get mistaken. Don't allow the little nuances and situations and innuendos that take place here to make you miss the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the Holy Spirit has been sitting on top of me. Jesus was testified by John. Jesus was testified by God the Father. What is God the Father saying about you? Maybe you do not know, I will tell you. God the Father looks at you, Jason, and he says, as a father, as a husband, and as a man, before you were formed, I knew you. I ordained you as a mighty man of God. That's what God says about you. What God says about you, Ashley, 1 John 4 and verse 4. Greater one is in you, Ashley, than the one that is outside you. Whatever comes, whether it comes in terms of voices, in terms of witchcraft, it doesn't change the narrative. The greater one is inside of you. And the greater one is one. That is why you are here today. That's what God says about you, Ben. He looks at you and he says, it doesn't matter what they thought of you. It doesn't matter what would have been said about you. But the God who created you and made you, he looks at you and he says, Isaiah 54 and verse 17, no weapon, Ben, that is formed against you shall prosper. You shall become like a tree planted by the rivers of living waters. That is why you are still here. You are still here regardless of the odds that were against you, regardless of the obstacles that stood against you, because God values what you carry. You're with me. God will be saying the same thing about you, Eric. He looks at you and he says, there are many things that will serve you from left, right, and center, trying to remove you from the purposes of God. But God says, Romans 8 and verse 31, nothing that can come against what God has declared over your life. Because the Bible says, if God says it, nobody else can come contrary against that. What God says about you is more powerful than what anybody else can say. You're with me. Amen. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged in understanding as we come before God in prayer. I want you to be encouraged by a few things. That the voices that speak into my life matter. Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, you are joining us on a program that we have started engaging for this week and next week on the Oracles of Jesus, the Anatomy for Ministry. May God bless you. Join us again next week. Thank you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.